A sermon series throughout the summer, the first part of the summer, on our church values. And so we've heard about generations together, we've heard about leadership, we've heard about worship, and today we're talking about loving hospitality. I wanted to start off by showing a picture I took on a walk I was on with Jalen, my one-year-old. If you can't see that, talking about loving hospitality, this is a picture of what loving hospitality is not. That sign, which is literally on a house I passed by, says visitors, not welcome. That is not loving hospitality. That is what we're trying not to do here. So many of you are aware that the college campus on Cook Street, which right now and in the past has been known as an extension or a satellite of Cal State University San Bernardino, but in the near future, that satellite, that extension campus, is actually going to become Cal State University Palm Desert. It will no longer be a satellite or an extension. It's actually going to be its own college or university campus. And along with many other changes, university officials said that resources will be given to this institution in order to help with a 30-year expansion plan and project, hoping that many athletic facilities and buildings will be able to fill that area in the next few decades. Now, among other things, the expansion of this university will also include the beginning of a brand new hospitality management program. The school is saying that the graduates of this hospitality program will actually be given an incentive to stay in the valley in order to serve the $6 billion hospitality industry here in the Coachella Valley. Did you hear that? $6 billion. I'm just reading what the university officials said. The courses include leadership, promotional strategies and branding, customer service, revenue management, employee relations, and tribal gaming, which I'm sure isn't useful all over the country, but it works here. Essentially, this hospitality program, and remember we're talking about loving hospitality this morning, this hospitality program will teach the students to effectively offer a warm and a generous and a friendly, memorable experience to guests of the Coachella Valley. But why? What is their motivation for doing this? Well, the university official already said it's to get a piece of that $6 billion industry. I'm not knocking the hospitality industry. Trust me, I'm not. If I did, I would be in really big trouble with my in-laws because it's how they made their careers. So I'm not going to do it. But I'm simply going to point out that when we think of hospitality, we often think of an exchange that takes place. Someone pays, and then someone else offers a warm, generous, friendly experience and memorable experience. In other words, those who are the recipients of hospitality are those who can pay for it, are those who can afford it, are those who in some way or another deserve it. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Has anyone ever tried to walk into a Four Seasons for a vacation without paying anything? It typically doesn't go well. Not that I would know, but I would imagine. Here's the thing. If this is how we think about hospitality, if this is the idea of hospitality that we bring to a central theme in Scripture that happens all throughout the pages of Scripture, then we are in great danger, a great danger, of misreading a central and core concept and theme that runs all throughout its pages. If we think of hospitality as an exchange to people who deserve it, we're going to miss the main point. Because what I just described to you, at least biblically speaking, is not what the biblical authors had in mind when they talk about hospitality. What I just described is simply entertainment. The Coachella Valley has a $6 billion entertainment industry, not a hospitality industry. In her best-selling book, Open Heart, Open Home, Karen Maine, she says this, entertainment has very little to do with actual hospitality. Entertainment, again, what I might add, is what is being taught at the local college has literally very little to do with biblical hospitality, or as we value here, loving hospitality. Let's look at the difference between entertaining and hospitality. You could argue that Martha Stewart knows a little bit about entertaining and hospitality. Maybe you're familiar with her name, just a little bit. In her book, appropriately titled Entertaining, Martha Stewart says that entertaining, like cooking, it's a little selfish because it literally involves pleasing oneself. You please yourself with a guest list that lines up with your ideal of harmony. You please yourself with a menu orchestrated to your home and your taste. You please yourself with decorations subject to your own eye. You please yourself with giving a consideration that it has to be pleasurable. But according to Martha Stewart, who is this experience supposed to be pleasurable to? Martha Stewart, she says it herself. When entertaining, it should be pleasing to the host. Author Karen Main, she explains, when entertaining, the host seeks to elevate himself or herself. It's a little bit selfish. When the guest arrives, the entertainer has this mindset. The entertainer announces, "Here I am. Come to my beautiful home. Enjoy all that I have done for you. How fortunate you are to be a part of what I have prepared." That's entertainment. And I'd imagine we've all experienced this before. Hospitality, loving hospitality, biblical hospitality, is completely different than entertainment. An author of a very important book, Just Open the Door, How One Invitation Can Change a Generation, Jen Schmidt, she discusses the difference between entertaining and hospitality. She writes, and I'm going to read some of this because she says it a million times better than I ever could. She says, biblical hospitality offers our best to Him first. Him, capital H. In other words, biblical hospitality offers our best to God first, knowing that our best to others will fall into place after that. Hospitality transforms our selfish ambitions and turns it into elevating the guest. When the hospitable host or hostess swings wide the door, all of their attention focuses outward. You are finally here. I've been waiting for you. No one is important today as you are the guest. And I'm thrilled that you have come. Do you see the difference? The posture we assume in hospitality, the posture we assume in loving hospitality, in biblical hospitality, is that it's actually the host who bends low and humbles themselves. It's the host who generally offers their heart, the core of who they are, to the guest, despite whatever interruption the guest might bring. Extending hospitality is about freely giving of ourselves. It's about the host giving of themselves, while creating an environment where there's freedom for the guest. Shifting our focus from us to them. So entertainment is status seeking. Hospitality is servanthood. Entertainment is here I am. Look at my home. Versus here you are, which is hospitality. Entertainment is self-serving. Hospitality is simply serving others. When a host offers his or her life exactly as it is, no pretending, and the host desires only to create a sacred environment for the guest, mixing in the counterintuitive and the countercultural idea of loving Jesus and loving others, we actually get to turn entertainment upside down. And we get to become participants in radical, God-honoring hospitality. Loving hospitality, that's biblical hospitality. That is our value of loving hospitality here at Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. Friends, the idea of hospitality, as it is used in the Bible, is that, and if this doesn't make you excited, if this doesn't inspire us, if this doesn't move us, if this doesn't convict and challenge us, I'm not sure we fully understand how countercultural the biblical idea of hospitality actually is. Hospitality, as we usually think about it, costs something from the guest, so the guest pays for the warm, the friendly, the generous experience. In that way, the guest deserves the experience. Hospitality in the biblical sense is the exact opposite. The cost is on the host. It's the host that bends low, despite whatever interruption the guest might bring to plans or to themselves. Now, Jen Schmidt, she's clearly a great writer and effectively communicates the difference between entertainment and hospitality. But you have to ask, where is she getting her content? What is inspiring her writing? And it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that it's Scripture. God's desire that we show others hospitality is a common theme, like I said before, that runs all throughout Scripture from beginning to end. In the Old Testament, showing hospitality is a cultural norm, as much as it is in some cultures even today. The New Testament reiterates the central importance as well. The Greek term that is often translated in English as hospitality is actually the word phileo xenos. And it's a combination of two concepts put together in a compound word. The first part of it, phileo, is one of the several Greek words for the word love. It communicates the idea of to love someone like a brother, brotherly love, phileo, Philadelphia. It's where we get the name Philadelphia. The second part is xenos. It means stranger, or one who's outside, or one who's marginalized, or even immigrant. It is where we get the word xenophobia. It's the fear of the stranger. It's the fear of the unknown. And in light of these two words being combined, hospitality is actually to love the stranger, to love the outsider, to love the immigrant in the same way that we love a brother. And we see this all throughout Scripture, in Leviticus, in the beginning of the Bible, instruction from God Himself: when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap at the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. He goes on to say, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you once were foreigners in Egypt as well. Love for the stranger, love for the foreigner, that is biblical hospitality. It's phileo xenos. What is the stranger? What is the one who's marginalized? What do they do to deserve this hospitality, this warm greeting, to be loved like a brother? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the counterintuitive part about it. That's the God-sized part of this equation, which oftentimes doesn't make sense to our human way of thinking. It's the difference in so many different ways of the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world. Continuing into the New Testament, Acts chapter 28, Paul recounts. He says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us into his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. So Publius, the chief official of the island of Malta, he showed hospitality to Paul and his company for 3 days. Does this mean that he wined and dined Paul, who's a well-known minister at this time, and his friends for 3 days because Paul somehow, who is famous, was some way going to pay Publius back down the road? In some way there might be some sort of exchange or payback. Absolutely not. It means that Publius felt compassion for the foreigner and for the outsider. How do we know? Because when this happened, this is right after Paul and his company were shipwrecked. Paul and his company, they weren't known there. They weren't well-known ministers. They were outsiders. They were foreigners. They were people in need. Paul and his company were unknown, but Publius still loved them, and he showed them love as he would to a brother. That is biblical hospitality. That's phileo xenos. And whether it's Publius, whether it's Lydia, whether it's Gaius, those who love the marginalized, those who love the outsider in the same way as they love their own family, they are absolutely celebrated in the pages of Scripture. Romans 12 says, share with the Lord's people those who are in need. Practice hospitality. Practice loving those who are in need as your own brother, your own sister. Hebrews 13, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. phileo xenos. That's what it's talking about. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality. Offer love to the outsider, to one another, without grumbling. Hospitality, loving hospitality, biblical hospitality, it's not about entertaining the insider. It's not about just taking care of the people who belong, those who deserve it. That's entertainment. It's about welcoming those on the outside. Strangers, outsiders, widows, foreigners, immigrants, lonely, shut-ins, the kid at lunch who sits all by themselves, and welcoming them in as insiders. The goal of hospitality in the Bible is to make outsiders feel like insiders. I have another picture. Last week, while we were traveling a little bit, we stopped in San Francisco, and the Ludwig family received a tour of the Google offices, Google, the internet company, in San Francisco. That girl in the middle, woman now, is one of our former youth group students. She has always been a world changer, for sure. And so now she's working for Google, and she's working with a foundation at Google. And it seems as though, you guys know Google. Google is an internet-changing, world-changing organization, one of the top internet companies. If you want to know anything these days, you typically start at Google. But apparently they know a little bit about loving hospitality. Because on our tour, the first building we went into, we saw some of Google's brightest and some of their best meeting with directors of small nonprofit organizations in their city, working on community development partnerships. And this got me curious. What do the directors of small nonprofit organizations in the city of San Francisco have to offer an internet empire like Google? How do they help Google accomplish their mission and their goals? Well, not much. In many ways, these directors of nonprofits, they're outsiders. They don't possess the skills to help Google do what they need to do. In fact, without an invitation, these people couldn't even get into the building. But Google, for some reason, loves what they're doing. They love the people they work with. They love the city they're a part of. And so they partner with these organizations. They give their expertise. They give their knowledge. They even give a lot of resources in order to help these organizations flourish. To love the outsider, phileo xenos, that's loving hospitality. Another example, you can see that on the tour they gave my kids badges. Just like all the badges that all the employees of this company wore. My kids didn't need badges. They clearly weren't trying to cause any trouble. But it's something thoughtful that Google did in order to help my kids, who were complete outsiders, feel like they belonged. That's hospitality. Google is a unique working space. In one of their buildings, they have an arcade with pinball and pool and video games for their employees to work at when they feel too stressed. How many of you would like to work at a place like that? How many of you worked in places like that in the past? I'm not kidding. And Google allowed my kids, with their badges, to go in there and to play as much as they wanted. My kids were on vacation. They weren't stressed. They didn't need to do that. It's just one way that Google helped outsiders, my kids, feel like insiders. Google feeds their employees really well, might I add. They invited my badged, rested, fed kids to the table. Just something thoughtful that Google could do to help the outsiders, my kids, feel like insiders. That's hospitality. A couple questions for us to consider at this point. Do we as Christians, do we as people as Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church, do we have a little bit to learn about hospitality from Google? How good is a church of making outsiders, those outside maybe our beliefs, our organizations, and our institutions, to actually feel like insiders? Is that even on our radar? How successful is a church at assuming the posture of bending low and humility and generosity and offering our hearts, the core of who we are, towards others despite whatever interruption they might bring to our lives? How successful is a church? At the common theme in Scripture, phileo xenos, of loving the stranger, the outsider, the immigrant, the marginalizer, the marginalized, just like we do our own families. In closing, we have to ask, why does this matter? Because what's the central theme of Scripture? What's the central theme of the Bible? The central theme of the Bible is this, is that God extended hospitality, phileo xenos, to the human race, to you and to me. It's natural to think of others as a marginalized in our community, which is absolutely true, but in the biblical story, the most true thing about this is that you and I were the outsiders. We're the marginalized. We're the ones on the outside with no way to become insiders on our own. We can't afford it. We do not deserve it. The early church leaders described the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using this term, perichoresis. And it's this idea of peri, which is a circle, and choresis is a dance. So you had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this dance, where there was mutual honor and love and happiness and joy and respect. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were the insiders. They are the insiders. That's it. But God's act of creation, God actually opens up that circle to include you and I. The circle is now available to us. We don't deserve it. It's God making us, outsiders who don't deserve it, insiders. God is the host. It cost him something. We are the guest. We do not deserve it. That is loving the outsider as a brother or sister. And sin is refusing to invite others into this circle. Sin is when you step out and dance on the feet of other people, like the Pharisees did. It's refusing this biblical hospitality. That is a central theme of Scripture. And you don't get a better picture of hospitality than the Lord's table. That is phileo xenos. That is what we're celebrating right now. This is better than whatever Cal State University Palm Desert is going to put together. It's better than whatever Martha Stewart can think of. It's better than anything Google could ever imagine, even as good as they were to my kids. This is a picture of hospitality that we see in the Bible. This is loving hospitality. Communion. This is a result of God's love for the outsider, for you and for me. This is a result of God's assuming the posture of bending low, of giving His heart, the core, the best of who He is to welcome us despite whatever pain and interruption and plans He had, Jesus had. This is about freely giving of Himself while granting us the freedom to continue to be ourselves and be changed into His likeness. This is loving hospitality, and this is what we value at Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. On the day that He was to be betrayed,